Hello, everybody, and welcome to the next episode of Picture Perfect. I'm your host, Bobby Gross, and we are back. Took a week off, a little summer vacation break, but we are back here this week talking Free Guy with a man known by three letters, PLD, Paul DeNuzio. What is up, buddy? How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Doing pretty good, Bobby. It's good to see you. The first time we actually got to really interact on a one-on-one level.
Yes.
I'm very appreciative of the invite. This should be a lot of fun. Well, I have one quick question. What's a vacation?
Nothing. Did nothing. Vacation was more like I'm really starting to get bad at scheduling, so I couldn't find anybody to do it. So I'm like, you know what? Let me take a break. That was the vacation.
It's happened a bunch of twice.
But listen, I'm glad to have you on the show. You do big things, man. You're a producer on the action show. You're a producer and host on Call to Action. Like, well, what's been going on with you? Like, just everything. I feel like you're just the man of all kinds of hats.
Wow. Oh, yeah, but
especially
I only wear the one.
Queen hat.
But yeah. I only wear the one. But no, I appreciate that. I appreciate the compliment. I've been doing a lot of stuff. I started with Call to Action. It's kind of where I started. I kind of veered off and made my own channel, PLD Projects, which I really severely neglect a lot of times. I basically do my Star Wars show every week or so, or every week with my friends. But mostly I've been doing a lot of production with the Action Industries channel. We've been really boosting that up a lot recently. They're going to do a new podcast soon. They're going to talk about that in short order, hopefully in the next week or so. That should be kind of cool. Again, it's going to get back to the old AMA days, Action Movie Anatomy days, if you remember those, when they're on Popcorn Talk Network. Always trying to find new things to do with action. And of course, I've been with the FCL and the Schmodown, working with Brad Gilmore. It's interesting to say, Christian uses Christian Harloff, he's described it as not the minor leagues, but the developmental league. But all of a sudden, recently, he's been saying he doesn't want to do that anymore. So we're kind of in this weird. We'll see what happens next year also. But that's been a lot of fun, too. Getting to work a little bit behind the scenes with PJ Campbell and the MTS crew. It's been a lot of fun. It's just I don't have a lot of time to do anything else anymore.
Right.
But I'm happy to find a spot that I can slide in here and talk about this movie. So.
Yeah, I know. And you do a lot of Schmodown stuff. This is just movies, man. This is what we're all about. Watching movies, talking about movies. And like you brought up before, Paul, I mean, we met briefly in New York at one of these shows, but I'm so happy to have you one-on-one, and we have the big New York show coming up in October that we can hang out at. So
absolutely,
it seems like I've had so many people on from the Schmodown now, and then most of them are going to be in New York, which is great, because now the community is amazing, and you get to just hang out, drink together, eat. It's the best.
Oh yeah, those New York events, like I say, there's something special about those New York events. Always something special happening. And then, of course, a lot of people go to the Mark Ellis comedy show the night before,
yes,
or something like that.
Of course.
A lot of fun. I know Bennett actually talking about maybe doing something, but maybe. I don't know if that's going to happen or not. I shouldn't probably say that out loud, because I don't even know if he said that on air or not.
Got to respect his hustle.
Absolutely. The dude never stopped working. But yeah, I've always loved the New York events. The New York events, I love live events in general, so I can't wait for those to come back. It's just been so long with this whole pandemic thing. Get me back where I can sit, see people face to face, even if it's mask to mask, and
whatever we got to do, right?
Whatever it takes, as Captain America would say.
So how we start the show is basically just anything that you guys have been watching lately. Please let us know in the comments. But Paul, anything that you've been watching, movies, television, that you want to bring up? I know you're a big Letterboxd guy, as am I. So, we're always logging movies, but you're super busy. So anything that you've seen that you want to mention, any good or bad?
I will. The funny thing that I was just mentioning this off, Eric, I said I'll say it again. With everything I have been doing busy-wise, it's just been a hard time actually finding time to sit down and actually just watch the movies. I'm more writing questions about movies and stuff. But I do try to find some ways to squeeze. And, of course, I've been doing my filmographies that I try to do every one. I started that with the old with the Ed Harris filmography.
There it is.
I kind of like the idea, because I've seen so many movies in my life that I kind of wanted to find a new way to watch new movies as well as throwing in those old favorites. So what I decided, let's take a filmography of someone I know and respect or something like that. and go through their entire oeuvre and like kind of see how they developed over time. It's an interesting go through. I've gotten through a couple directors, a couple actors, but right now I'm nearing the tail end of the Murray-thon, the Bill Murray watch through. So I'm loving that. I got to catch up on a lot of the old 80s classics, but I realized that there's a lot of the later year stuff, the 2000s and like 2010 stuff, I never got a chance to see, or it passed by me too quickly. So watching some of those recently, I just recently watched, last night I watched Aloha, which is basically more famous for Emma Stone being being the great Asian lead that she is.
Yes, of course. Well-known Asian actress, Emma Stone.
Absolutely. And that was not a very good movie, not going to lie. It was, there's like a nugget, there's like a one great scene in there between Bradley Cooper and Rachel McAdams and like in the kitchen area, that is a great little conversation, like because he left her, and there's this great little moment between them, which I thought really worked well. That was, and Bill Murray was actually good as this like Elon Musk type character, but beyond that, it was all sorts of like, I mean, it got to this point where there's a scene at the end, like in a good scene, there's a scene between Bill Murray and Rachel McAdams. Rachel McAdams' husband, played by John Krasinski, comes in. And he's very, his whole joke is he's a silent character, doesn't really say much. Not silent Bob, like he doesn't ever speak, but he's very, you know, doesn't really say much. He's more with like, right. He comes in, he puts his hand on his shoulder, like nods and leaves. And Bradley Cooper jokingly like relates to Rachel McAdams what he just said. He just said so much without saying anything at all. And it was kind of a funny little bit. But then like at the end of the movie, Bill Murray and John Krasinski have this conversation. And they, it just takes it way too far. Like, they have this conversation where they kind of sit to stand, and they actually have subtitles of what they're saying underneath. And it's just, it was like, it just complete. I was at the point, I was kind of like, ah, fuck this. This is just stupid at this point. But that's what Bill Murray stuff I've been watching. I did get to see, obviously, this movie. I really want to see Reminiscence, which is coming out this weekend.
Oh, yes. Hugh Jackman and
give me Angry Jackman anytime. Ferguson. Anytime I get Andrew Jackson, I'm a happy guy. And then, again, Rebecca Ferguson as well. So both those together. I've heard some mixed reviews about it, but yeah, I've heard some sci-fi. Have you watched it?
I haven't. Just by the trailers, like you, especially when it comes to like these sci-fi psychological movies, you can kind of tell if they're going to be good or not by the trailer. And this was like one of those trailers where you go to, because, you know, I have to mention it every week, I am on the AMCA list. So you go every week. And this is like one of those trailers that plays before every single movie. And I was like, boy, this just does not look great. It looks a little convoluted. And just that's just by the trailer.
Yeah, and that's actually one of the arguments I've heard, or the negatives I've heard about it, is definitely a little bit convoluted. Although I do love sci-fi and I love original sci-fis. I'm always willing to give it a chance. Yeah. It does look a little Nolan-esque, obviously. It makes sense, given where it's coming from. The brother's wife and the Westworld people, so it does get convoluted at times.
Jonathan Nolan, right?
Jonathan Nolan, and I can't remember her name. His wife is also, it's also the same showrunner. I can't remember her name off the top of my head now, but yeah.
I don't know her.
And one last thing I will throw out there, the two things I want to watch TV-wise, which I've gotten into, I watched the first episode of Heels.
Tell me about that. I've been dying to watch it.
That hit me so hard. It was so good. I kind of like, when I first heard of the show, I was like not entirely sold. So like, it's the Green Arrow, who I know loves wrestling. Stephen Amell loves wrestling and everything else. But I kind of was like, can I do this without making it look just overly cheesy and overly like Ready to Rumble esque, and I didn't. But I gotta tell you, man, it was like Friday Night Lights for wrestling.
Oh, I love that.
It was deep. It was intense. It was emotional. And I don't know how much. I assume you're a wrestling guy from the way you're.
So I used to be huge, like huge into wrestling.
Right.
WWE, Ring of Honor, TNA. I used to go to like all the conventions. I went to WrestleManias. Like that's how I kind of got started on YouTube. I had a wrestling channel.
Oh, okay.
That did, you know, was moderately successful. And I stepped away for a while. And then ironically enough, this week I'm back into it with CM Punk coming back.
It's kind of hard to ignore. I'm actually the same boat. I watched wrestling a lot when I was a kid. I was a Hulkamaniac growing up, and I got into like the Attitude Era. I like left for a little bit. I came back after college for the Attitude Era.
Watched that was all when I got that.
Kind of started fading away, but I always kind of kept my eye out. I'd watch WrestleMania. I'd watch the occasional bit, like the Royal Rumble occasionally. But I'm not nearly as into it as I used to be. CM Punk did definitely bring it back. But this show specifically brought back, like, there's a kind of a period in like the late actually probably the last like 10 years, even when I wasn't watching wrestling much, I used to love reading the biographies of like the old guys, like back in the territorial days and everything else, like Roddy Piper, Dynamite Kid. Any story I could get, I was like, this is just fascinating stuff, and it's exactly what this is. It's this fascinating look at a territory. Well, like Stephen Amell's brother is going to get scouted by the big time, the big show kind of thing, and like he's like almost too big for it. Stephen Amell is like the leader of this federation that their father owned, and he's still definitely low-key. It's just a lot of great interrelationships, but a lot of good wrestling aspects as well.
Yeah,
it's got a lot of potential. In one episode, it had a lot of potential. It ended up like I figured, like I thought they were going to build up to this part, and then that was going to be the end of like almost like the season or something. But they had like the first big match at the end of the first episode, and it was like, it was a nice swerve, and I was like, oh, so this is where we are now. Where are we going now with this? So I can't wait to see the next episode on Sunday-ish or whatever around there.
See, now I'm conflicted because it's like one of those things. Do I watch it week by week, or do I wait until it's all out to binge it?
That is a phenomenal point.
Because like I'm doing that right now with – I mentioned this like every episode in the past few, but like Schmigadoon finally finished their first season on Apple Plus, and I'm starting to binge through that, and I'm loving it. But that's one that I was debating. Do I go week by week here? Do I just wait until I binge to binge it? This one is a great binge. So I'm glad I didn't have to do week by week. But it's like dramas are tough because usually they end on some kind of cliffhanger. So would the watching experience benefit from a week to week basis? Because then if you can just watch the next episode, then what the cliffhanger is probably not as effective.
Right. I mean, it's kind of funny how that whole thing developed. I mean, Stranger Things is probably the first thing that really dropped that was really a big zeitgeist moment where you could binge something. I was kind of like, oh, this is a new thing. Holy shit, I'm going to watch the whole season now. And then you think about it, then like, it was such a great like, idea. Like, holy, this is awesome. I can't believe it. But as you kind of went into it more, it kind of became this thing like, okay, well, then the season was over, and like, weekend, now you're done.
Yep.
You're like, okay. So I kind of find it funny that we're starting to go back to that weekly model for that exact reason. And I like it that way. I feel like that way a little bit more because then you get that whole weekly thing. You're like, oh, what's going to happen now? You get to have these conversations about, well, what do you think? How do you think this is going to go?
Yeah.
And it just lasts a lot longer. It's your enjoyment lasts a lot longer. Although there's some shows that you can still binge and be fine with. I mean, I recently binged the other show I was going to mention if I had time was going to be Ted Lasso. Which
oh, yeah, please.
Freaking sweet.
I'm watching it, too. I love it.
Oh, I didn't realize how much I was going to love it. I shouldn't. It's one of those shows that, like, I don't understand why I love it so much necessarily. Like, it's like almost like a sitcom, and it's, like, nothing, like, extraordinarily like, dramatic storytelling-wise, but yet it's just the positivity and, like, the amazing, like, energy it has. I just got drawn in. I binged the first season, like, one night. Like, before the second season, now I'm watching week to week on that. I think Ted Lasso, I could probably binge more, but at the same time, I do like the fact that I get to have a little more Ted Lasso along the way. But, oh my God, Ted Lasso's been great.
Fantastic. I haven't watched the Christmas episode or this week's episode yet, so I'm a couple episodes behind.
Rom-communism, that's the only one to say about this week's episode. That's one of the lines, rom-communism, and it sums up the whole episode and is absolutely brilliant.
Dude, it's like I think for the most part, I think people binge Ted Lasso the first season because they just heard so much about it, and now they're watching week by week.
Yep.
And just for me, I mean, it's just a matter of like finding the time. Mm-hmm. But I actually like watching that show more week by week than binging it because I mean, it's like you said, PLD. It's like you watch it and you just feel good. So it's like a weekly feel good 30 minutes that you get every Friday. I think that's when the shows drop. So I'm loving Ted Lasso, and I'm very intrigued by Heels because I mean, we don't get that many like wrestling shows.
Right.
We got Glow on Netflix, which where were you on Glow? Did you watch that one?
I did. I loved it.
And then they canceled it.
I know. It took me a little bit to get into it. I'm not going to lie. The first episode, I was kind of like, I wasn't completely sold, but once I was all in, I was all in before I knew I was all in. That makes sense. I kind of like also I started watching. Like, wait, I really fucking love this show, don't I? And then they canceled.
For sure.
I'm like, God damn it.
And you know, like I don't know why. I think it was just like they blamed it on COVID. I don't know if that was the real reason, because obviously if it was popular, they would have found a way to bring it back.
Yeah.
So it was probably one of those things where it was kind of like borderline viewership, and schedules probably didn't work out. So they were like, you know what? Let's just cancel it. I'm still holding out for like a Christmas special or some kind of
finale.
Like movie, like please, because that show was great. I loved Glow, and I'm super pumped about Heels.
They did Sense8 did the same thing. They had like those seasons that they were fine, and they had a kind of a wrap up movie or whatever. That could do something like that for Glow. I think that would be because it was. I thought there should have been. I mean, I don't know. I don't look at the stats or whatever. But I thought there was enough viewership to push that. Like, get a finale at least. Don't like let it hang there. But
it was one of those where it found a perfect balance between critical reception and audience reception.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
You know, critics loved the show, and it seemed like it had a really strong following, and then it just went away. But Heels is on Showtime, right? That's where
Stars.
That's a, you know, Star. I don't even have Stars, so it's going to be one of those things where I'm going to have to find it online somehow.
Because... Yeah, not going to lie. That's what I did. I found it online.
There's too many streaming services, people.
Really? Seriously?
Eliminate some. It's ridiculous. As far as what I've been watching, I mean, I was telling PLD before the show started, like, there's just so many movies coming out right now. This is what I've watched. New releases since the last episode from a couple weeks ago. I watched Vivo, which is the animated Netflix movie with Lin-Manuel Miranda. That one, not very good. Stillwater, which was Matt Damon. He goes overseas, and it's kind of I actually really love this movie. I think it's super underrated. It's based on that one. There was this the name's slipping from me, but there was like this whole controversy about like this American who was jailed, and somebody's gonna remind me of this, but it's basically based on that story, and it takes a turn in the third act, which most people didn't like, but I kind of liked it. Probably like one of Matt Damon's best performances too, and it's, you know, it got a lot of publicity about, oh, he's doing like this Republican Southern character, and it doesn't really play like that. He's just he's an actual character. He's not like a caricature, which I enjoyed. Gotcha. So Stillwater, definitely recommend that. Val, which is the Val Kilmer documentary on Amazon. Right. Love that one. Not a huge Val Kilmer guy. He's kind of like before my time when he really hit big. Top Gun and Top Secret and Batman Forever, obviously. He talks about all that. He's not doing well health-wise, but I actually just read the other day that they're using AI for his voice now. Because like he had throat cancer, so like for most of the time when he's talking, he has to do this thing with his thumb to give it throat oxygen, so he can talk and breathe. So he doesn't sound great. But it's now robotic, like they just so they did some kind of AI thing with his voice. And I don't know if that was just like an experiment or it's some kind of mechanism now that he can use every day so that he sounds like himself.
I thought, but that's fantastic. Didn't they use it for the voiceover for for Val? I thought that's what I heard.
So the voiceover, because it's a documentary, the voiceover is actually done by his son. And he sounds just like his father. It's crazy. I love that little touch. I would definitely recommend Val. 9 Days, which is a small independent film. Not very good. I know people loved it. It's overly sentimental. Didn't love that one. Respect, the Aretha Franklin biopic. That with Jennifer Hudson. Jennifer Hudson is clearly the highlight in an otherwise conventional, kind of forgettable biopic. But good music, good performance. You know, you get what you get sometimes on the screen. Like you know what you're gonna. It's like Walk Hard. It's like super conventional. You know, a lot of times with these musical biopics, they need to do something in the formula or the style, like Rocketman, kind of conventional on paper, but they did something super different with it. That's what I need from a musical biopic like that.
Yeah, I get that. The funny thing is they got backlash for doing that too, so I feel like it's like almost a no-win situation. Either go conventional, if you try to break out of the mold too much, you get a little bit of backlash from it. So it's like,
I guess. I don't know. I Rocketman is one of those that you can just put it on and have a good time. Like, I've seen that movie probably like 4 or 5 times. It's just one of those. I love the music. Great movie. Saw Free Guy, which we're going to talk about. The Green Knight, Dev Patel.
Ooh, yes.
Not my cup of tea. This is like one of those, I think it's just a David Lowery thing for me. Like his movie from a few years ago, A Ghost Story. I don't know if you saw that one.
I did. Let me interject real quick and say, it's a movie that I absolutely loved. But when I watched that movie after it was over, I think I wrote it in my Letterboxd review. I couldn't tell if it was the most pretentious load of twat waffle I've ever seen in my life, or if I absolutely loved it. I couldn't tell, but I've kind of fallen in the sense where I actually absolutely love it. I feel like I put a lot of myself in the movie and I got a lot out of it. But I can completely see somebody absolutely hating it and being like, this is the most boring piece I should have ever seen in my life.
I appreciated it more than I liked it. This one, I kind of feel the same way. I just think that it just meanders. It doesn't do anything for like an hour and 15 minutes. It's just, if you thought A Ghost Story was pretentious, so is The Green Knight.
Gotcha.
Not my cup of tea. And finally, I saw The Night House, which is the new Rebecca Hall horror thriller movie.
Right.
Just saw that one.
How's that?
It's fine. I thought it was okay. It's kind of like, it plays on the whole, I feel like the last 5 years there's been so many movies about, horror movies specifically, about loss and how to deal with loss.
Right.
And this is a movie about loss. But it also has kind of a neat little twist in there too, though. I thought Rebecca Hall was fantastic. The movie itself is it's okay. Would never revisit it again. It's a little, talk about pretentious.
Yeah,
a little bit. But it's put out by Searchlight, and it's just not, I don't see a lot of people going to see this movie though.
I gotta say, I'm a big horror buff kind of thing. This seems like it's right up my alley. Like it'd be one of those kind of I haven't seen it yet, but like a mid-level horror movie, which I would put on, love it all the time, and just forget about it and never watch it again. But like, it would hit enough buttons probably where I'll probably enjoy it and be like, oh,
I think you will.
So.
I think you will. And I'm on the lesser side of that. Like, I feel like I'm in the minority. Most people are really, really enjoying it. I will say I don't get scared in horror movies. However, there was one jump scare in this movie that people are talking about that scared shit out of me too. So I'll say that. So take that for what you will. I do not get scared by horror movies, but this jump scare, even though it is a jump scare, it's a little cheap. It did scare the shit out of me.
Fair enough.
But then there's also a couple movies I still need to see, like Coda on Apple Plus. Mm-hmm. Got a lot of buzz. It got picked up for like a crazy amount of money at Sundance.
Yes.
Haven't gotten around to that one. And then this new one that I hear is insane, Annette, which is a musical with Adam Driver and Marion Cotillard, which is on Amazon.
I heard amazing things about that.
Paul, there's just so much stuff. I try to pride myself on watching almost everything.
Mm.
I have my own limits. I can't physically do it. And plus, I finished McCartney 321.
Oh, sweet.
Which was on Hulu. It's a little 6-episode docuseries. Dude, are you a Beatles guy at all?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Love the Beatles.
You're going to love it. You're going to love it. It's literally Paul McCartney and producer Rick Rubin. I mean, I'm waiting for the new season of SNL because I'm pretty sure this is going to be spoofed because it's Rick Rubin just geeking out and doing like the head movements and everything. It's just like a full on meme.
Right.
I don't know if memes are going around about it, but like it's so memeable. But it's great because it's just Paul and Rick talking about Beatles music and how it was done. Like even if you're not a Beatles fan, they go into so much about how the music was made and what goes into it and the different elements of songs. It's fascinating stuff.
Sounds
6
right
episodes on Hulu, half hour each. You got to watch it if you're a Beatles or a Paul McCartney fan.
Definitely
big
will.
Thumbs up from me. And great. Then the first 2 episodes of What If? Disney Plus. Love it.
That. Yeah.
What are you thinking about it? Because I love the animation. To be honest, I mean, I feel like the Marvel shows, for me, the live action ones, they started really well and then progressively just kind of fell off for me. I don't know if that can happen with this one because it's like different stories per episode, but I would say right now it's my favorite Marvel thing that's come out on Disney Plus.
It's hard. I'm of two mind to that. It's hard for me to love a what if show, like, as far as, because, like, as far as the narrative goes, you can't really, you have a lot to grab onto because it's so different. Like, everything is different. Like, say, what do you necessarily grab onto except the concept of seeing things? And so it's always been one of those shows I think it's gonna be hit and miss for me. But so far it's been hit, I'm not gonna lie. I do, so the other side, the flip side of that is that I do love the fact that we can do anything we want to, which means we can see new characters we haven't even been introduced yet. We get to see people like in day, like people, crack characters die that we're never going to see die in the MCU or whatever, or different things. Like, there's a lot of different stories you can tell, which I do like that aspect of. You never know what you're going to get. That sums up the whole show, which is why I think it's going to be a hit or miss, because I'm going to know there's going to be stories I'm really like, yeah, I don't really care about that one. So I'll just pick and choose what I like. So far, though, I did like the first one. I thought that was kind of a cool angle. The second one was more of a... It was weird because it almost felt like it was supposed to be a fun episode, but it had that like twinge of bittersweetness when you realize like you Chadwick Boseman's there, you get to hear him as Black Panther one more time, and or Star Lord Panther, whatever you want to say. But it was still kind of a fun episode. I'd like to see some more in there. I'm interested. I'm definitely intrigued. I don't know if I say it's the best. I loved Loki. I think Loki's still my favorite so far. Loki's my favorite so far, but this has great potential.
Yeah, and the first episode I loved because, I mean, it's Agent Carter becoming Captain America, and, you know, there was already a report that Marvel is going into animation now. They're going to be making more animated television shows. I believe they said they're not going to do the movies, which is a shame because, I mean, DC has been doing animated movies for, like, the better part of 10, 15 years, and mm-hmm. they seem to have a really good following. Mm-hmm. And if you put, you know, those kind of movies on Disney Plus, you got something and you can do different things. I'm hoping, just because they already announced that shows are on the way, maybe we get a Captain Carter show. Like, it's a what if, but I feel like that would be super, super fun.
Well, that's the thing. That is the cool thing you bring up, something like that, because they have the what if it is hit hard enough, there's always a way to do an alternative universe show. You can even build out, like the Ultimates did in the comic book. You can build a whole separate universe. Now, me, I'm going to say, I'm in the minority here. Some people who watch myself know that my favorite Marvel superhero was always Hercules. And I'm just dying. I know it's a random choice. I don't know. I can't even tell you how I got there. I think I liked mythology when I was growing up. Sunk in there. I love the Bob Layton run in the 80s, even though that was an alternate universe as well. Mm-hmm. So I've been waiting for him to be the MCU forever. And, like, there's been rumors about it. Because he's probably, I mean, I think he's probably the biggest Avenger left that hasn't been in the MCU yet at this point. There's rumors he's going to be in Eternals. There's rumors he's going to be in Thor Ragnarok. There's actually rumors he was going to be in maybe Guardians of the Galaxy at one point. And, like, they kind of come close. I know that in Thor 4, Love and Thunder, we got the spoiler cameo Gladiator. Why am I blanking on his name? Oh, my God.
Russell Crowe?
Thank you. That's so quick. Like, I keep thinking Liam Neeson. Like, it's not Liam Neeson. It's fucking the Gladiator. Russell Crowe. Russell Crowe as I'm tired. Russell Crowe as Zeus. Zeus in Thor Love and Thunder. So I'm like, well, maybe I can get a Hercules there or something. Hell, give me an animated Hercules. That's all I care. I just get him in there somewhere. I just want to see him once or twice. So it's fine. Although the problem with that is that I've gone on this rant before. As much as I love Ragnarok, is probably my favorite MCU movie, like I mentioned earlier at one point. Basically, Thor in Thor Ragnarok is Hercules from the comics. That's what he changed his character into. So I don't know if it actually could find a way to fit. But,
well, you know, how many movies does Chris Hemsworth have in him? Like, that could be the replacement. You replace Thor with Hercules. That makes sense. But yeah, definitely what if, loving it. I love that most of the actual live action actors have come back for the animated roles. So that's great. Poor Dave Bautista he claims that he wasn't offered anything, which is just kind of crazy. Like, they get Sean Gunn and all these other guys, but they don't offer anything to Dave Bautista. It's like, what's going on there?
Yeah, that definitely seems strange to me. Maybe, I don't know, he'd be blacklisted for something he said, or I don't know, who knows?
I don't know. But that's all that I've been watching. I got to make up for lost time. It's been 2 weeks. How to let everybody
I'm jealous, dude. I gotta say, I'm jealous. I feel like that's the only thing I've done with my busy schedule. I love being busy. I love having the life I have as far as I like being involved with all the things I'm involved with.
Yeah.
I should like some time to actually watch more movies.
I know. Not only movies, but there's just so much television too. Like it's 100%. Just, it's a lot, and I can't even keep up with all of it. But we are going to talk about one movie here in non-spoiler and then spoiler. You guys know how it goes. The timestamps are in the description. If you want to skip ahead, skip back, whatever you want to do, skip to the loo, my darling. We're going to be talking about Free Guy, the new Ryan Reynolds film put out by, I guess it's 20th Century, just 20th Century Studios. It's not Fox anymore because it's Disney, right? And we do see the Disney influence in this movie, not to spoil. But yeah, I had a ball with this movie. Like, it's just, it's a ton of fun. And the one thing that I was worried about going into it is Ryan Reynolds can do his Ryan Reynolds thing, where it could be like Deadpool, because now Deadpool is kind of Ryan Reynolds and Ryan Reynolds is Deadpool, but he doesn't play it like that. He actually plays it super straight. He's mostly the straight man because he's clueless. This movie is mostly kind of like Truman Show with meets Ed. Yeah, like exact Ed Harris
on bread.
Where would Ed Harris have fit into this movie? Do you have a role for him?
Ooh, this is funny. It's going back to when I did Class Action for a while with on the Action Industries. I used to have a segment where I had a Ed Harris in every movie. Oh God, I didn't even think about that. You're catching me off guard.
Would he have been the flamboyant Taika Waititi character?
That is the idea in a way. I mean, he is kind of the closest thing to Christoph, as like if you're going to do the Truman Show analogy. And he can. Ed Harris can do some wacky stuff. You ever see him in like Sweetwater? It's a Western movie. He's very flamboyant, which is very off type for him. I would mind seeing him in that, but I would also probably, it'd be awesome to see him like off type and like the Channing Tatum role. Maybe he has a cameo doing that. I think that would be funny as hell, because playing completely against his intense nature, like how he's really angry, intense Ed Harris, and then like have him like also like the gamer behind the screen is like somebody not, and it is weird. That would actually make me laugh quite a bit. I think he could pull it off. It'd be funny.
I think
to
he
watch.
Could too. He's a man of many talents. He Absolutely. Can do. He can play whatever he can. But yeah, I feel like, you know, this is a video game movie technically. It's not based on video games, but it is a video game movie. So it has like, it's basically Truman Show meets Wreck-It Ralph in live action. But I'm not a video game guy. I know you're not really a video game guy, PLD. It seems like the generation after me would probably like connect more to the video game elements here. But I loved what they did with the video game stuff. I think it made a ton of sense. I'm familiar with like the slang, like the NPCs. I'm familiar with, you know, the Twitch community and everything like that. Although they do go overboard with showing all these different personalities from Twitch and YouTube. And I'm like, okay, we get it. They're reacting. Got it. Let's move on. But it's such a, like a perfect summer blockbuster. It doesn't talk down to the audience, which a lot of these do. It has a heart. There's like a romance in here that I really like that angle to it. It doesn't play it like your typical, because this is $100 million movie. It doesn't play like that at all, really. It just has fun with the concept. There's messages. There's heart. There's relationship. There's jokes. It's got everything you wanted in a summer blockbuster. PLD, Free Guy, what do you think about it?
I've got to admit, I was a little bit cynical going into it. I watched the trailer. I was kind of like, I don't know. And you said it before, Ryan Reynolds kind of just plays Ryan Reynolds a lot of times. He doesn't have, he doesn't have a whole lot of range that I've seen too much. It's pretty much the same. You know what you're getting when you get a Ryan Reynolds movie. He's just like Bruce Willis before him. Things like, it's just, so, but I like that. If you buy into that character, that Ryan Reynolds character in a way, you know what you're getting into. But like you said, this was a little bit different, a little bit not quite as over the top as he can get. So there was that. But it was overall, I was pleasantly surprised at the depth that was there. They didn't really explore it to the full, but you can't in this kind of movie.
You got enough.
You're kind of like, oh, it's interesting that they're even like going into that a little bit here and there. But it definitely did everything else I wanted. It had the great action sequences, great fun, bright colors. And I agree with the video game thing. I kind of feel like, I almost wonder, I tread carefully because I'm like, I wonder what a true, real, in-depth gamer feels about the slang used and things used. It's like, they try to be hip and cool. Are they actually being hip and cool? Or are they just old guys like pretending to be hip and cool? I don't know because I'm an old guy.
While also making fun of gamers a little bit. Like, there's this one character in it that's just like a straight cliche. And I'm like, is that really the choice you want to make in a video game movie that you're kind of insulting the audience that you want to go for here? But
that was the same thought I have. This is like your commentary on it now, but you're basically insulting your main audience. But okay, that's a choice.
bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off.
Exactly. And so far, it seems like it has. People have loved it from what I've seen. That's the main gist I've heard is like, everybody's like, oh, this is actually surprisingly good, which is the same thing I kind of felt.
Yeah, the trailers didn't really do this movie justice. No. Like, it looked fun, but it kind of looked dumb, and it didn't seem like there was much to it, but there is substance here. And, you know, kind of like it's kind of the opposite of what I had a problem with the Suicide Squad, where they do character stuff, but at the sacrifice of, you know, the pacing of the movie, because, you know, they'll have these character moments and it just stops. And I didn't feel like that in this movie. Like, you get plenty of character stuff and it keeps moving. I never thought that this movie dragged. I thought the pacing was great.
Yeah.
Kind of flew by, honestly. And, you know, you have Jodie Comer in here from Killing Eve. Does a great job. I don't know if you're familiar with her. Let's not talk about that. you have her in here who's doing, like, kind of two different roles, two different accents. She plays kind of like a love interest at times, but also she's just kind of this badass in the video game. She knows what she's doing. Her and Joe Keery's character, who Joe Keery, what a lovely guy this man is, right? Like, yeah. Yeah, he was a little shithead in season one of Stranger Things, but I guess he's just being typecast as the nice guy now.
It's amazing the 180 he did in Stranger Things, and now as this as well, he's got that nice guy attitude. Although he does look perpetually young. I kind of almost feel like
super young.
I feel like he looked too young for this role in a way, but I kind of like, oh, it's whatever. I'll go into it. It's fine. But yeah, I liked him a lot. I love Jodie Comer in this. I think Jodie Comer should get into more product. I hope she hits it big because she's got a lot working for her. She has great, and again, both characters were quite defined. She had this great, some kind of in-depth, like, I felt that her emotions were more in-depth than, like, on the surface. Like, she kind of had a lot behind her that wasn't there. Because you could easily let this film is a dangerous film to make, because you could easily let it be completely surface and all about the action and the vibrancy and the colors and that kind of thing. But she chose to take the character she had and give her some depth, and that really worked well for me. So I think she's a great talent. I hope we see her doing more.
And there's stuff between her character and Joe Keery's character throughout this whole movie that finally pays off at the end. I really like that. You know, and it's funny because you have Taika Waititi in here as the villain, I guess you would say. That was probably my biggest problem with the movie. I get what he was going for, but maybe it was just like the delivery of it or something like that just didn't work for me all the way. I kind of wish somebody else did this role. I thought it would have been played a little bit funnier. He's just so off the wall. Which the character is, but at the same time, it just, I don't know, it just didn't click for me, PLD. What did you think about Taika in this movie?
I gotta disagree. I kind of feel like, to me, he was one of the highlights, and I realized that he basically took a cliched thing and just decided to amp it up, which I thought kind of felt with the amped upness of the movie in a way. It was a little bit of a caricature. It's a word I can never say. Caricature. But at the same time, thank you. But I kind of felt like this whole movie was a little bit of a caricature in a good way. So I do, I kind of like, I understand where you would have your issues with him. I kind of feel like the connectedness between him and the rest of the real world characters, the Joe Keery and everything else. But for some reason, sometimes when some guy is just as entertaining as he is, and I just laugh at anything he does. So I was able to like get past those kind of missteps for me, and I was all in. I kind of like would like to see him do more, to be honest with you, in this fashion.
Maybe it was just like, it wasn't because he didn't write the words, So maybe it was just something disconnected from the page to the screen. This is a role that I would have loved to see, like, Jim Carrey do 15 years ago. Like, he would have been great. And he kind of did that in Sonic the Hedgehog, too, just, like, this off-the-wall performance. So he still has it in him. I don't know. That was just kind of, like, the weakest part of the movie for me. And, you know, there's just so many. But other than that, I mean, there's not that much that I didn't like about it. Anything else that just kind of didn't work for you, PLT, or
didn't work? It's hard to say. I mean, I was, I mean, most of my criticism would be just that, like, they didn't stand out to me. That'd be about it. Like, the Mauser character, the Utkarsh Amdekar, Joe Curie's, like, friend, that character I felt like was just underplayed, and like,
I didn't understand his motivation in this movie.
Yeah, it just kind of confused me. And then all of a sudden, like, at the very end, he switches to being Joe Curie's best friend again, like, when he was, like, not sticking up for him, not doing anything about it. Like, he was basically, he was a friend, he became an ultimate henchman, and then, like, all of a sudden decided to switch back over. It's kind of like, I don't get what you're doing here. I don't know what your process is here.
I liked him in the movie. It's like you said, the character was a little underdeveloped.
Right. I get he's not a character you need to super develop in a way, because he's definitely, like, you know, fifth, sixth down the list or whatever, but at the same time, it just kind of, like, was...
But it seems
he should have gone more one note. If he was going to be one note, he should have been one note in a way.
And he starts out as Joe Curie's friend, and then there's a point where he does something that just, like, goes against his character, and then and then at the end, it wraps up in a bow.
It's like, happened
here?
Honestly, I didn't like him turning at the end, because, like, if he made the commitment to kind of become the bad guy. And then, like, I was like, oh, I'm going to be the good guy. Well, what did you do for the whole, like, time you were being the bad guy? All of a sudden, you're redeemed now because you said, oh, now it's too far. Now I'm, like, it just didn't make much sense. I would rather have just have him go down with the ship and be the bad guy, like, at the end there. Or be the good guy throughout. Because if he had at least shown some, like, hesitation about what he was doing or something. Yeah, but it was kind of like, I'm all in the bad guy. Oh, wait, I'm all in until I'm not.
Other than that, I mean, not much else to say that I didn't like. I think the visuals are fantastic for, like, $100 million. Like, you would have, I would have been convinced that this was at least $150 million. So they definitely got their money's worth. It's on the screen. A lot of times, you know, I felt this way with Jungle Cruise. That's like $200 million, and a lot of stuff just doesn't look good in that movie.
Yeah,
I can't pick out anything. Maybe, like, a few scenes here and there that look clearly green screen, but other than that, the actual effects looked incredible.
I agree. I think part of it was helped by the fact that it is a little bit cartoonish by nature. The movie is cartoonish by nature.
It's
a video game. So you almost, like, I think you almost subconsciously would just, like, let things slide that you might not let slide in, like, in a more serious, like, level-headed movie, or not level-headed, serious level movie at this point. But this one was just the way it goes. You're kind of like, okay, I get it. It's a video game. Makes sense. So it worked that way. But that's not to say that I didn't appreciate it, because I did love the visuals. I thought they were one of the strongest aspects to the movie.
Yeah, and you also get some fun. I don't know if you, because I caught one of the voice cameos. I didn't catch them all. Pokemon. But there's one voice cameo in here that stood out. I was like, oh, I know who that is. I'm not going to spoil it. But there's, like, three more that just completely random A-list guys come in here voicing video game characters. Fun stuff.
Yeah.
And then, absolutely, like you mentioned before, Channing Tatum is back, everybody. He's back. I love Channing Tatum in comedies. He is so great in this movie. You know, he went away for, like, 4 or 5 years to, I think he was, like, raising his kid. And this is, like, his big comeback. And he is great.
100%. I do like everything he did with it. It's a small role, which I appreciate. Some people have called it a cameo. I think it's a little bit bigger than a cameo, but
I think it starts out as a cameo, and then he keeps coming back, and you're like, oh, okay, so this is just, like, a character you see in a few scenes.
Right. But he's the kind of guy, he's the kind of guy whose sense of humor I love. He basically will do nothing. He won't not do anything. I feel like he'll do anything you ask of him.
Oh, yeah.
And he'll make fun of himself 100% of the time. Whatever he wants, like if it's good for the movie, he'll do it. He has no pretense about that. And that's the kind of thing I appreciate, because that's what works. That's what makes it funny. He's the kind of guy you want to hang out with and have a beer with because of that kind of thing. So, yeah, he was one of the highlights of the film, for sure. That whole sequence at the end there, his biggest sequence, was hilarious. Yeah. It was so spot on.
He is so great in the like Jump Street movies, and then his actual little cameo in This Is the End.
Yes!
Unbelievably funny.
So good.
I love that he played. He just doesn't care, man. He's up for anything. I love that. You know, guy like his size. It's kind of surprise. Like I wish The Rock would do more of that.
Yeah.
But he seems like super protective of like his brand, so he can't be like too off the wall. Channing Tatum doesn't give a fuck. He'll do anything. I love that.
Yeah.
But I love this movie. You know, I think that this is like the perfect summer movie. You go in, get a big old thing of popcorn, and just have a fun time with it. And, you know, I don't know if this will play better on streaming, because thankfully this is theaters only. So theaters only, you're only going to be able to pay a ticket and watch it on the big screen. And it's doing super well, thankfully. Like, it's making a lot of money. It's got great word of mouth. Yeah. I think the day it came out, Ryan Reynolds basically tweeted something like, well, Disney already wants to make a Free Guy too. So I don't know what you do in a Free Guy too, but would be down for it. Like, I trust Sean Levy, who directed this movie. Speaking of Stranger Things, Sean Levy directing this, The Night at the Museum, directed a bunch of other good movies.
Yeah.
I'm down. As long as you bring everybody back and you have a good story, like, why not?
Yeah, it's always worth a shot. I do my hesitation. I never want to, like, a lot of people get precious about things. Oh, you can't make a sequel to this. And I agree with what their thought process is. I just never get to that far to that same conclusion. Because my initial thoughts are, I don't know if you can make a sequel to this, because, like, it's such a one-off kind of thing. And, like, continuing the story, this story was such a big part of it that anything else seems like it's tacked on in a way.
Yeah.
But that doesn't make me say don't do it, because if I liked the world enough, I wouldn't mind revisiting it. If you could find a great story, absolutely give it a shot. I mean, I think there is a kernel of a story there with the development of the AI, development with the Ryan Reynolds' character and everything else, which you could kind of visit, but I
maybe like a rival gaming video game, or perhaps a rival like video game company with a shithead boss, something like that. I don't know.
Somebody screws with his programming somehow or something like that. You have the whole like Superman 3, Ryan Reynolds versus Ryan Reynolds kind of thing. Yeah. Maybe or something like that somehow. Maybe a dual role. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, big thumbs up for me. Big thumbs up from PLD. Definitely go check out. Go to your local theater and watch this movie. And to get into spoilers now, not much to say about spoilers. I will say, speaking of Ryan Reynolds versus Ryan Reynolds, loved the dude character who is just like a completely undeveloped video game character that writers like. I loved his lines in this, like just completely like
phrase,
just a template in a video game. I love that third act battle between him and Guy.
100%. That was one of my favorite parts of it as well. You could see it coming when they started talking about it's not done. You could see what's going to happen. I didn't expect to see Ryan Reynolds' face on it.
Yeah, I had no clue who it was going to be. I thought it was like going to be like another big like actor to come in and, yeah.
But no, it's just Ryan Reynolds on a big guy's face, on a big guy's body. But but yeah, I mean, let's get right into it. They talk about spoilers. My favorite part, honestly, was the sequence at the end there. The Chris Evans and the Star Wars.
Oh my
one.
God!
That was that got me on the set. But that's great cameo. That's a great cameo right there.
And that's the benefit.
I almost saw it coming, like a little bit. Like it turns right in the battle. All of a sudden, you see his weapons, and also you see his shield. I'm kind of like,
oh yeah,
are they gonna go there? Like, are they really gonna go there? Like, I kind of, the funny thing is in my mind, I'm like, wait, what studio is this again? Is this studio?
Exactly.
Like, okay. And then it's like, oh, there it is.
That's the benefit of Fox being under the Disney umbrella.
Right.
And that kind of makes me wonder, like, was that a reshoot? I don't know exactly, like, when this fell under the transition from Fox to Disney.
Yeah.
So you got to wonder, like, was this something that they included, like, after the merger? And, like, well, we have all this IP. We have Star Wars. You can use the Star Wars theme. You can use lightsabers. That is just, like, a ton of fun. And
done well. It's done well, and it's not overdone. A lot of times, a lot of these IP things recently, it's kind of a thing that's been a thing recently, like Space Jam 2 and Ready Player 1 did that. They're going to fit as many IPs as you can. Well, Ready Player 1, I thought it fit because it was kind of like the first thing that was trying to do that, and it was kind of a
Space
thing
Jam 2. No, thank you.
But Space Jam 2? No. And that's where the worst part of this of that can go. This little 30-second thing or whatever is a nice way of doing it. The nice fan service thing to make you just... and like get into it just for a second.
It got like the biggest cheer in the theater. Like nobody saw that coming. And then like
speaking of, you know, just Channing Tatum thing, that's Chris Evans is the same type of thing. Chris Evans will do the same type of thing. He'll make fun of himself. Absolutely. Have no problem with that.
Because I had no clue Channing Tatum was in this movie either. So when he shows up, I'm like, is that Channing Tatum? I mean, he's been away for so long. I didn't expect it. I knew he was, you know, starting to book some roles, but I didn't hear one thing about Channing Tatum being in this movie.
Nope, not at all. The one last thing, also, by the way, me not being a gamer, having no idea, my son told me about it later that because you have the Captain America bit, you have the Star Wars bit, and after that, he did the thing where he dragged him through the roof or something with the unicorn thing. I guess that's from Fortnite.
Didn't pick that one up.
My son told me that. I'm like, oh, okay. So there's the reference for the younger people that we you don't know anything about.
I mean, besides that, like my audience in the theater skewed a little bit younger, so like they were cheering the streamers that were coming onto the screen. I'm like, the only one I knew was Ninja. I didn't know anybody else. There was this one YouTube guy that like got the biggest pop at it. No clue. But they kept going back to him, like, okay, we get it. We know what you're doing here. Can we, like, move on?
Yeah, I wondered, like, if that is that reaction, because I had the same reaction. I wonder if that is because we're older and don't know them very well. Maybe. Kind of like, okay, maybe they like going back to it. If it was somebody, like, we liked and knew, maybe it would have been better. I don't know. But, like, I have the same reaction. I'm like, okay. Yeah, I get the point. You're reacting to it. You're excited about it, or you're whatever. You're getting your catchphrases in or something. Like, okay, let's move on. Especially after like the fourth or fifth time. Like, all right, fine.
And it's also a little over the top that everybody would be watching this thing. But it's just like a movie cliche kind of thing where something big is happening and everybody in like Tokyo and New York, they're watching it on the big screens. Like, it's a little ridiculous. That would never, like, this thing was on like all the news channels. And, you know, Alex Trebek is mentioning it on Jeopardy. Like, just, okay. I mean, it's a cheesy thing to do, but I get it. It works in this movie.
Yeah, it works. It works enough. It's fine. If it's for an audience, I'm not the kind of guy who's like, you have to make every movie for me. So if that was for a different audience member in there.
Why not?
It's fine. It didn't like kill the movie for me. It just kind of like went, all right, good. Let's move on.
And I really liked the Ryan Reynolds and Lil Rel Howery relationship too, that friendship. Like, I feel like the past couple years, Lil Rel has just been doing his Lil Rel thing. He's not doing much with the people that he plays. It's just like being wacky and over the top. And he kind of gets grounded in this movie, which I really liked. And I kind of liked, you know, what he was saying, like, well, what else am I supposed to do? This is what I'm need to do every day. Like, how am I supposed to just break out and do something different? It's kind of like what we feel in real life. Like, we're in the monotony of a Monday to Friday job, 9 to 5. Like, you know, it takes a lot. It takes a lot to break out of that kind of repetition and that kind of box that we're in every day.
I love Lil Rel. Gotta be honest with you. I mean, I don't know very much about him, but every movie I've seen him in, I feel he takes these small parts and knocks them out of the park.
Speaking of Space Jam 2.
Yeah, that's true. let's not go there. Let's not go there very much. Okay, so maybe not every movie, but even he wasn't actually that bad. Man, like he's being fine as much as I don't like the movie.
It's a paycheck for him, I'm sure. Like, yeah, you know.
But I mean, going back to something like Tag, Bird Box, Good Boys, Get Out, obviously was his big thing. He just does his thing well, and he, I guess that's what I said before, I feel like I see a little bit of depth in him, in comparison to somebody who just takes this kind of role. Like, this role is just an easy role for some people, but he adds a little something to it. 100%. Which is so beneficial to a movie. You can have a fourth, like, guy in the cast list kind of thing, like, add this kind of twinge to it, it's going to make your movie so much better. And I think every movie could, if you could have a Lorel in your movie, you're going to get a benefit from it. Let's put it that way. I love his relationship with Ryan Reynolds. Watching his character grow in that small kind of way, and the excitement with his in his mind and everything else, and how he got there. Perfect sidekick type character.
Totally delightful, and it kind of flips it on its head, because Ryan Reynolds usually gets the girl at the end. Like, he's a rom-com guy, but in the end, like, he's, it's not about him getting the girl, it's about him and Lil Rel and
his
friendship. Like, it's great stuff, because I mean, it was teased in the movie that Ryan Reynolds and Jodie Comer were, like, weirdly together, but I mean, Ryan Reynolds is basically Joe Keery's AI, so it's him speaking through Ryan Reynolds.
But I
loved that's the kind of, like, element in this movie that could have went really cheesy and bad, but they play it so well, it just totally works for me.
And the ending part with that is actually when they go overly cheesy with it to make a point, and it's funny and it's good. Like, when they see each other at the end of the movie, it's almost a rom-com type situation there, and I loved every second of it. Like, to get them back together, you love to see that in a way.
I love this movie, man. Like, I really didn't expect to, you know, have such a great time with it. And maybe, you know, I've said this on for movies that I didn't enjoy. Maybe it's just one of those things. I was having a good day. I went in. I wanted to have a good time, and I did have a good time. You know, sometimes you go into movies with a bad mindset. Sometimes you go into it with a good mindset.
I agree. One of the best parts to me also the movie was, like we mentioned before, like it kind of touched those depths that were there. I remember at one point, it kind of like I was a little bit – It weirded me out, not the wrong word. I got a little eerie about at one point. I was watching the development of Guy and Ryan Reynolds, and I kind of went over whispered to my son at one point. I was like, this is actually the original Terminator storyline. The AI is coming alive, and they're going to start to...
that's true.
Like, this whole thing, AI is coming alive. Like, in most cases, this is where it took a turn for the worse. The AI decides that it needs to save humanity or whatever.
That could have went real bad.
It could have gone real dark in a way. I'm like, just waiting for it. Like, I know this is not this kind of movie, but that's where my mind started going. Like, oh, this is totally going a different way.
And it's just like, I really love the little seeds that they planted throughout the movie that Joe Keery was actually Ryan Reynolds as an AI or whatever it was, because, you know, just from like the Public on Ice Cream, like I knew something was up there. Like, that's just too specific. That must be like her thing. And I was like, well, other than that, like, how else would he know unless, you know, Joe Keery, who was like one of the architects alongside Jodie Comer's character to build this AI, like, clearly it was teased throughout the movie. There was little seeds planted about his love for her. It just paid off super well at the end. I really love that.
It did. It was very a little obvious, obviously.
A little obvious, but that's okay.
And at one point, I kind of go through this with a lot of things. My initial instinct is like, how can you not see this? But then I get to the point, I'm like, and I revel in it for a bit. I'm like, you know what? Honestly, when you're in that situation yourself, you don't usually see it. Because you're kind of like, you have a lot of self-doubt, a lot of like, I'm not seeing that. I'm like, nah. And it always takes someone like a Lil Rel at the end going, well, you just fucking did this already. Or not a little artist already. Just get this out of the way. Come on now.
Well, yeah, big thumbs up from us, guys. Go check it out. And that's all we got about Free Guy. Paul, PLD, we got the Pick Perfect Minute coming up.
Oh, boy.
60 seconds, speed round questions.
Ready.
Listen, there's no right or wrong answers, although some of them, for me personally, I would consider them a wrong answer or a right answer. So it's not necessarily trying to get the answers right for me, but just let you know, I will judge you on a few of these answers.
Fair enough. I'll judge myself harshly later, probably, too.
Are you ready, PLD, for the Pick Perfect Minute?
As ready as I'm going to be, my friend.
All right. 3, 2... 1, Jim Carrey or Adam Sandler?
Carrey.
James Bond or Mission Impossible?
Mission Impossible.
Favorite movie snack?
Popcorn.
Favorite movie drink?
Coke Zero, Pepsi Zero, whatever. Zero.
Favorite streaming service?
Right now, HBO Max.
Ever snuck into a movie?
Absolutely.
Ever walked out on a movie?
Never.
Dine in theaters, yay or nay?
Nay, because I haven't really tried one yet, honestly.
Batman or Superman?
Batman.
Denzel or Sam Jackson?
Denzel.
Matt Damon or Ben Affleck?
Affleck. Maybe.
If you could see one movie for the first time again, what would it be?
Empire Strikes Back.
Star Wars or Marvel?
Star Wars.
Lord of the Rings or Harry Potter? Time.
Lord of the Rings. Ah, oh, too late. I go Lord of the Rings, barely. Hey, I love Harry Potter. I do love Harry Potter, but like the only ways I can make a big difference is I throw out the Crimes and Grindelwald in those two movies. I like The Hobbit over those ones. So.
Oh, my God. I'm not a big Lord of the Rings guy, but there's nothing. Few things are worse than Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. I did not like that movie at all.
I was not a fan at all either. I like the world and I like some of the things they did, but overall, I'm kind of like, no.
Hard pass.
So Lord of the Rings was actually a formative experience for me in the theaters. I think it was one of the best. Like, that was the first time since Star Wars that I really felt like this is an epic.
See, movie. I felt that way about Sorcerer's Stone. Like, I saw that in the theater as a kid, and I was like, oh my God, I love this stuff. Not a huge book reader, but I fell off. I read like the first three books, I want to say, and then they just got too big. They got too thick of pages, you know.
<That's fair. laughs>
400, 500, 600, 700, 800 pages. I'm like, nah, I'm good. But PLD, thank you so much for being on the show. I thought this was great. Anything you want to plug, feel free, plug away.
Okay, FCL every Tuesday on the Schmodown Twitch channel. I've got a lot of cool matches coming up with that. We're barreling towards the end of our season. We should have a big event planned coming up in October. I should look out towards that, but always matches that are fun there. Action Industries just shows pretty much every weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We have done Action Unfiltered. But we have new, like I said, the new podcast coming out, which I can't really talk too much about yet. Action Guys are always Sundays, and then Call to Action and stuff every week, although I've been pulled away a little bit from Call to Action. This is my business. I've been doing more of the behind-the-scenes booking stuff and everything else, but they do a Call to Action live on Sundays, After Action Report on Mondays. Every Monday, I try to do every Monday on PLD Projects. I try to do my show Scoundrels of the Force, where right now we're concentrating on the Bad Batch. Before we go back deep diving into the movies we did before. It's not as regular as I'd like it to be, but, you know, eventually, when I have more free time, I'm going to build out that channel a little bit more with the Ed Harris stance, where I go through all of Ed Harris's movies. I know people want to see that. They're dying to see that.
Needs to happen.
Needs to happen.
I have one question for you, PLD. This has been gnawing at me for years. How was Ed Harris never cast as Frank Sinatra? Like, if you look at him in the 80s, in the 90s, that is Frank Sinatra. How did that never happen?
I would like to ask you the same damn question. The old blue eyes is back, and he has, like, it's just, it would have had a perfectly cast number. I don't know how that didn't happen, to be honest with you.
It still upsets me to this day. Like, yeah, I just, because when are we going to get a Frank Sinatra biopic? Never. If it's not with Ed Harris, it cannot happen.
Absolutely. You're done. You're fired. You're cut.
Oh, my God. It's going to gnaw me until I'm dead. But you can find the show on YouTube, Picture Perfect. We're on all the major podcast platforms at Picture Perfect. Pick Perfect Cast on Twitter. I am at Bobby is Gross. If you're watching on YouTube, please subscribe. That would be great. Leave a thumbs up. Apple, you can leave 5 stars. I don't know what you can do on Spotify. Just follow, I guess. I don't know. But thank you so much, PLD, for being on the show. This was a great episode. And guys, stay tuned next week for another episode of Picture Perfect.